welcome to the 25th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I am your host, Edinar / Clinky McClinkerson, because my ice always clinks in my drinks. I am joined tonight by actually both my wonderful co-hosts. We're all back together for this wonderful new announcements tonight. I'll start with today. I have Coleman. Coleman, how are you doing today?
Huh? What? I'm here.
You're here?
Yeah.
You haven't been arrested?
Nope.
not yet.
I'm sitting here. I haven't gone to the gym yet. I'm getting antsy.
Oh, calm down. You can go one day without the gym.
No, I cannot.
We have special announcements tonight. Today.
Yeah, that are crap.
Well, you're crap. And that other guy you hear laughing over there is Dave. Dave is back from his... I want to call it like 2 weeks off, but I think it's more a 2 week celebration about the Eagles making the Super Bowl.
Nothing is won yet. There is still another game to be played.
But you're in the Super Bowl.
Yes, which is an awesome thing, and definitely unexpected after Wentz's injury. So the fact that they're still in the Super Bowl is exciting, and if they play like they've been playing, they'll have at least a puncher's chance. But obviously the Patriots are, the Patriots. So,
I mean, you do have a chance to win a trophy named after, the Packers.
That's true. The Packers trophy. That is what they call it. The Packers trophy.
The Packers trophy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, if you know anything about Swugga, you know that we actually had a giant patch drop today. Giant content update today. Two new characters, a bunch of great cadence news, and a bunch of other stuff today. So I want to get into that, but first I want to ask both of you. We'll start with Coleman. Coleman, how's your territory wars been?
This territory war has been fun. There's a lot of my guild is, we're active and we're doing it. A lot of good communication, and we're just destroying this other guild so far.
Okay, Dave, how are you guys doing?
We tied the last one, and this one we'll probably tie again. The last one, the team that we faced did the all Gear 7, Gear 8 defense and saved all their good characters for offense strategy.
Oh, they cheesed you.
Yeah, which kind of it really, I've really enjoyed Territory Wars a lot when I was in a lower tier GP level. Now that you get to the higher tier ones, which I certainly have the roster to compete in, but I don't find it as fun because this is the second time that we've run into that strategy, which just kind of saps the fun out of it. I like when there's challenging, and what I found in the lower tiers is everybody goes full bore with the best teams they possibly can on defense, even if they don't have the best rosters. And then you get this, and you have these guys with well over, multiple people with over 3 million GP and just tons of great rosters, obviously 135 plus GP, and they're doing this the cheese tactic, which just kind of, I don't know, sapped the fun out of it for me a little bit. The one we're currently in, though, they went after it legit, so this one will be fun. And Territory Wars is always I really enjoy being able to use my roster. I think that's the best part. I still like them overall. I wish that cheese strategy wasn't a thing people did. That's all.
Okay, we're in that weird boat where we're actually, so we smoked the last one we did. It was a full-on, ass whooping. Uh-huh. And then this one, where I think last I looked, the guild we're going up against has 9 or 10 million more galactic power than us. And I'm actually hearing a lot about that, mismatch of galactic power between guilds, and it's showing. We're keeping up with them now, but I can tell that we're gonna fall behind. So, I mean, to each their own. Like, here's the big thing I've come to learn about Territory Wars is I think I've stated before on the show, I only do defense. This is like, I participate by putting my teams on defense, so other teams don't, but if I had to do defense and offense, I think I would sit out every other Territory War. Just as a break.
Right.
So, like, I go all defense, so other people can go offense. And, I mean, it works well for me, but honestly, the prizes, if you lose, not that big of a deal.
No, yeah, I don't even think it's, yeah, I don't think it matters that if you lose or win, which is part of the reason why I think people shouldn't do the cheese thing, because, like, you're not going to win doing that. You're only going to tie.
And a tie is a loss. All right,
So anyway, that's just, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you may say, oh, no, we tied. No, you lost.
Yeah, two losers.
What rewards did you get? Did you get the rewards for winning, or did you get the rewards for losing?
Right.
I'm totally. Pretty sure you got the losing rewards, so you lose.
Yep.
So, but Territory Wars still going on. I mean, I think people enjoy them more than Territory Battles from what I've gotten. But that's besides the point. We're going to move on to the content update this week. So we're going to save... We got two new characters. We got Vice Admiral Haldo and Rose Tico. The two new characters from The Last Jedi. We're going to go over them after we talk about the rest of what's in. Like the events, the shard shuffle, all that stuff. So we're going to get all the other stuff out of the way. We'll start with the events. So essentially they're both marquee events. Starting on January 27th, you're battling the First Order in both of them. So you get to use any characters you want for marquee events. I mean, it should be pretty easy. You'll generally unlock them at, what, 3 stars, is it usually?
2 star.
2 stars?
I think it's like 2 now, like at 2 with 20 of the 25 shards to get to 3, right?
Something like that.
Or 25 of the 30, 20 of the 30 shards to get to 3, I think is what you get to, right? Or 15? 20
of the 30.
15 or 20, but yeah.
Something like that, like just short of the next level.
Yeah.
So both those events start on the 27th, and those generally last for 7 days, from what I remember. But, I mean, I don't think, if you're level 85 and have any decent geared characters, you won't have a problem with beating them at all. So that's a non-issue. Now we get into the more interesting things. So there's going to be a little bit of a shard shuffle around, as they call it. So they go through this cadence, and we've talked about the cadence a lot, and I guess we've complained about the cadence a lot, and they've heard us. And I even said that they've heard us, that the character release cadence is not good. Or essentially was not good. Now it's better. So starting today, the following character shards will be made available in shipments. And going forward, you'll also see them in more traditional farmable locations. So Wicket, Mother Talzin, Zombie, Spirit are going to be in shipments. And then in farmable locations after that. So I think they heard us and are like, this marquee event... getting shards every few months thing has got to go. Which is great.
I think I was a pretty vocal proponent of hating this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you wanted Wicket, and I was happy to be able to get Talzin now.
For some reason, he wanted Wicket.
I want Talzin too, though. I mean, she's a great character, and the Night Sisters look like a ton of fun, and I just hate using, like, understarred characters. Just, like, aesthetically, it bothers me. So, like...
I mean, is anyone going to spend crystals on Zombie?
No.
Oh, no, you don't need to. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but... that's... You're just like, oh, yeah, you can leave Zombie out of it, because we would prefer not to have the option to star up Zombie, because she's better off at 3 stars.
So would you spend crystals on Talzin? That's the real question.
I mean, I don't think so. Because she's not needed at 7 star. She's just not. She's not. She's
for the events she is.
For the event she is, but I mean, this game is kind of built around Arena. Yeah. And in Arena, a 7-star Talzin is not required at all. Because she's not a damage dealer. It's the same reason that Nihilus. Nihilus is not required at 7 stars to be Arena viable. Yeah. Because you're not looking at damage, you're looking at their kit. I mean, the more stars she has, it's not like Plague hits harder.
No, she definitely does really good damage, though. Her basic hits hard.
Oh, her basic, yeah. But her basic isn't the reason you have her.
No, but I mean, if you have her start up, it's like a bonus. I mean, if you're going to spend... Here's what I'll say. If you're going to spend money on one of these characters and get them...
Are you
going to
say Wicket?
No, no, not at all. No, listen, just because I love Wicket, I would never give people the advice that you need to go start him up over someone like Talzin. Absolutely not. She's way more usable and definitely Wicket might be like the best character ever, but like she's still way more useful for a variety of.
Wait, he's better than Hondo?
Well, no one's better than Hondo. God damn it,
Hondo.
I hate you.
They released the only character they're going to release with that starts with an H and ends with an O this year already. They did that today. So,
oh,
Hondo.
Sad face. Nope. I'm gonna be in the corner crying.
Yeah,
that's fine. We can do the show without you. Go away.
But you know what? Oh. Think about it this way, Ednor. At least you know that they won't release Hondo in this stupid like not marquee other type of event. Cadence, like at least that's gone the way of the dodo at this point, so that's good.
Dave, that was wonderful getting us back on track. I applaud that.
Yep, you're welcome.
But yeah, I mean, the old character release cadence is gone. It's dead. They kind of say it. They knew that they listened to us. They realize it's stupid.
Yeah,
and it's gone.
Yeah. I wish they would realize taking 2 years to get a character was always stupid, but at least finally they saw the light.
Yeah. Now, one thing they did say with this is characters released via territory battles, legendary events, hero's journey, and other special occasions will continue to have a more unique and challenging farming schedule. So, just because these marquee characters changed the cadence, the other ones haven't. So, don't expect to have BB-8 and you know PT Ray next month.
Right.
Because that's just not going to happen.
Mm. It probably never will.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't think they need to with those.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone complains about. I mean, people might complain about the requirements of those events, but I don't think anyone complains that those types of events exist.
Yeah. Now the thing is with legendary events. I mean, eventually they're going to have too many legendary events. That I mean, at some point they have to do something about like, hey, we have more months than we have. Or more legendary events than we have months. And what do we do about that? So I think that might be an issue down the road, but that's down the road. That's something that they can deal with later.
Yeah.
And same with territory battles. That's the territory battle characters might be more down the road type of thing.
Yeah.
So one other shard, and this is probably my favorite thing that they changed, or favorite thing part of this update, was Unmask Kylo, or, you know, Matt, and his deadly TIE silencer have appeared in the holotable along with the fearsome, you know, first special forces pilot and their TIE fighter. They're adding them to free-to-play. So, and this is something that we've seen them do in, like, single hard nodes, but never on a cantina. They added Kylo Ren Unmasked and his TIE silencer to 3F Cantina, which is a 10 cantina cost node.
That's awesome.
That's insane.
Yep. Best thing like, you ever could have done.
Like, I just did, like, once this update came, I refreshed 3 times, ran it. I think I got 20 shards of each.
You'll be 7-star in no time.
Yeah, like, I plan on being 7 stars in both of these probably within a week, mm-hmm. week and a half. So, that's amazing. That is a pleasant surprise, because I was wondering where they would put him, and I was worried that they'd put him in, like, a single hard node or something like that.
Right.
But to put him in a 10 cantina cost node is phenomenal. Good on you, CG. But they also put the First Order Special Forces TIE pilot and his plane in the guild store. And from what I've seen, it's also on the same, like, shard or whatever you want to call it, spot as Stark. So now you have, what, Ewok, one of the Ewoks, Stark, TIE fighter, TIE pilot, or Special Forces pilot, Special Forces plane, all showing up on the same shard, which will really make the grind longer for those.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Although I'm almost done Stark, so.
Yeah, I mean, I told Coleman before, like, I'm 70 of 100 on Stark, so it's not a huge deal, but it's going to make the grind for Special Forces pilot even longer, having to join a different spot.
Yeah, is he?
What's that, Coleman?
Because he's really good, actually, and when you combine his silencer and his TIE fighter, it's amazing.
I'm disappointed that I thought Special Forces pilot was like a dead giveaway for either Arena or Galactic War. Like, he's an unnamed character, like a generic character that you could put in Galactic War and Arena shipments. Because we haven't had any update to those in since Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I have every character in Galactic War and Arena at 7 stars. I have all the ships from Galactic War to 7 stars. So it's like, what do I use this stuff on? Like, shard shop currency? Like, I want another character in there, and I thought Special Forces TIE Pilot was going to be it.
Nope. Too bad.
Wah,
wah. Wah, wah.
So, but those will be in the guild store, and that's effective as of you're listening to this podcast, because it happened about 2 hours ago or an hour ago from when we started recording. So go out, get them, farm Unmask Kylo, get his TIE silencer, and get him in your lineup as soon as you can. So, next up, we have the packs and bundles. And we have what you've come to expect from the packs and bundles, with one exception that I want to talk about. So, the packs you have the Resistance Technician pack for Rose. That's the gambling $1,300 crystal pack, 5 to whatever, 330 shards. And then you have the Resistance Admiral pack for Holdo. I've seen this in different Discord chats. I've seen this, on Reddit. I've seen it. It's interesting that she has Admiral pack. If you're an Admiral in this game, does this mean she's getting a capital ship? Like, Admiral Akbar has a capital ship. Grand Admiral Thrawn has a capital ship. Does them calling her Resistance Admiral mean that Holdo will be getting a capital ship? Dave, what do you think?
I don't know, but...
I guess. Did I just come out of left field on this one? Like, oh god, Ednard's maybe.
Ships. Here's the thing. Here's my blanket statement about ships that I will continue to make until they add more ships. They need more ships. So, right now there's what, 4? Certainly, there are factions that don't have one. Resistance is one. First Order is another. Separatists is another. Like, I think. You could see 3 or 4 eventually, hopefully throughout the course of this year, more capital ships. I don't know if just because she's an admiral, that means she will get one. And the thing too is, like, she's like not a huge, I mean, she's a big part of the movie, but like, she's not really like a big, I don't really think Holdo's going to go down.
She did save the entire resistance.
Totally, and that part of the movie is awesome. I still don't think she's going to go down in the annals of history as like some famed Star Wars character, but I mean, yeah, she could totally end up getting a. I mean, it would make sense, right? If you're going to give one to a resistance character, it would be her or like Old Lady Leia, I guess, right? So
yeah, but we don't have Old Lady Leia in the game
yet.
Sorry, we don't have her in the game yet.
Yeah.
My bad. I mean, Coleman, what do you think? Does this, calling it an admiral, or calling her an admiral, does this mean we're getting a capital ship?
That doesn't necessarily mean you're getting a capital ship.
Like, are there any admirals in the game that don't?
How many admirals are there? How many? Yeah, I can't.
Two?
I forget.
I think there's two.
Okay, so let me go through. They're going through. This might take a while. I'll get back to you.
So I honestly think there's two, and both of them have a capital ship. I mean, the odds are in my favor.
Sure.
But with that said, Mace Windu has a capital ship. So
Admiral Mace Windu, they got rid of the admiral part, but
oh, yeah. they're just hiding that.
Yeah. Obviously,
General Grievous doesn't.
No,
which I think I've stated on this before. If you give General Grievous a capital ship, I will actually start to care about capital ships, and I will go all in.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd love a separatist. I mean, they're going to need to add more separatist ships too, but yeah.
Yeah, but. So we have both those packs. So we have both the gambling packs. And then they have the bundles for each one, and it's 25 shards and credits, droids, whatever, all that stuff. Those are usually, like, what, $9.99?
The opening?
For 25 shards each.
Initial pack? Yeah, $9.99.
$9.99. So we have both of those. Nothing new. Those bundles start on the 27th, so this Saturday.
Which I will not be buying.
I will be buying one of them, not the other.
But you don't have Rey.
Good point. I will not be buying either. So
it only works if you have Rey.
Hey, you never know. But yeah,
they don't expose.
Yeah, they don't expose, and she only really works with resistance. So yeah. Never mind. I'm not buying Holdos.
Yeah, they have very... I mean, we'll talk more about this when we get to the actual characters, but they have very clearly defined two resistance teams going forward.
Mm-hmm. So, they did announce a few bugs, and nothing of major significance. You know, little odds and ends. And then everyone's favorite part of the content update, the what's ahead. So, the what's ahead reads... The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural. Now, this, I don't know exactly what film it's from, but it's what technically...
I think it's the Revenge of the Sith.
Is it Revenge of the Sith? It's technically Sidious at the time who turns into Palpatine. What Sidious says to Anakin, like word for word. So this is obviously either a Sidious or a Palpatine reference. Like, I don't know which one it's going to be, but, I mean, Dave, you had an interesting theory about this. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, well, I mean, my best guess is that it's the long-awaited stuff for Palp, right? Because Palp doesn't have Zetas, so, I mean, that's just my, like, best guess, and we all know that it was eventually going to come, so that's what gets me really excited. But anyway, it focuses less on that, but more on the quote itself. So for those who don't know, which I would imagine if you're listening to this, I don't know how you found this podcast if you don't necessarily know what this means, but he's in this conversation. Yeah, you really stumbled down a wormhole on this one. So basically he's talking to Anakin, and this is before Anakin turns, and he's describing to him the
spoiler.
Story. Yeah, right.
Anakin turns?
I know. He's describing to Anakin the story of Darth Plagueis, who became so strong with the Force that he was able to actually keep those ones he loved alive, or for, you know, resurrect, I guess you could say. So, I mean, you know, obviously, you know that Palpatine kills him, but either way, what I was kind of hypothesizing is I think they chose that quote for a reason. I don't think they just chose that quote, because you could choose any number of Palpatine quotes throughout the prequels or the actual, you know, trilogy. And I think, or at least I'm just hypothesizing, that the reason why they chose that is I could see them working in some element of revive, resurrection, something like that. Now, that isn't something that we ever see him do in canon, I don't think, unless I've missed something. But it's a power that he claims to have mastered himself. So, you know, even though you don't see him really do it, there's ultimately a chance that maybe perhaps he's able to do it. So that's just kind of my hypothesis, is maybe they'll weave something like that in. I think that would be cool. That would certainly help. That would certainly help any rework that you would give or new abilities you would give to Palpatine, assuming it is him. And then also, I think it's important to remember that he's Empire and Sith. So I would hope that whatever they do to his character will help not only make Sith viable again, and they haven't been viable, you know, for like a good 9 months, but also continue to buff up Empire as a potential viable option in Arena, mainly because I now have 5 tier 12 Empire characters.
Hey, you're catching me.
I know, man. I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting there. I'm like, TIE Fighter pilot's staring at me. I have all his stuff, and I'm holding out because I want a gear 12 Stark, but I still need 15 more Shark. So I'm going to do Shark. I want to do Stark first, and then...
I actually have five gear 12 Empire characters.
Well, you see, I would gear 12 TIE Fighter pilot just because of his ship.
Right, and I use the ship, so that makes sense. But I really want to just finish my little like trooper team that I built, so I just want to get them all nice and goldy. But yeah, so that is my theory. It's probably wrong because I suck at theories, but either way, that's the first place my head went, so I figured I would share.
Okay, like one thing I will add to what you said is how he's Empire and Sith. I don't know. All right, one thing I want to point out from what I've seen from the game changers videos that I've seen is they have been told that, all right, people see Sith, like him as a Sith, and think, oh, Revan's coming, because everyone has been thinking Revan's coming. From the videos I've seen from the game changers, they have literally said, they have been told, do not expect Revan anytime soon. So do not get your hopes up. Revan is not coming. It has been told to them that he is not coming anytime soon. So don't get your hopes up that this means there's going to be a Sith change, which brings a sign of Revan coming as a Sith and all that fun stuff. Get that out of your head. That's my PSA for all this. So, I mean, Coleman, You're our dark side person on this. What other Zeta could happen to Palpatine? If this is in fact a Palpatine rework,
maybe like a what is it? Undispellable shock.
Oh yeah, like almost treat it like fracture. Yeah.
All right. So I will say this: what if it's not Palpatine? What if it? Because technically, in the movie, it's Sidious that says it.
Yeah, but Sidious already got it. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I just think that, like, I hope it's Palp, just because he's a much more important character to the lore, as well as the game itself, because he affects two factions. Like, he could literally make two factions Arena viable with a great rework, and you're not going to get that if you rework Sid again.
But this also, reworking Palpatine sets a dangerous precedence of changing legendary characters.
No, but he never had a Zeta, though. You're not really... Yeah, you know, he never had his Zeta.
Because they did Yoda. They had to do Yoda, too, and they already did Yoda.
Did they do Yoda?
Yeah, yeah, in the very beginning.
Oh, so they redid Yoda and he was still bad?
Yeah.
No, well, he had his moments. I mean, and
yeah,
when...
Yeah, he really did.
When did Jedi, he really?
When, yeah, when Jedi yeah. Teams were viable, he was great.
Back when Zol first came out, Qui-Gon Jinn, Grandmaster Yoda teams were the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They were very good.
I was running Xylo at that time, so...
Yeah.
Zol at the time, so... Yep. No one was running Qui-Gon Jinn in my shard.
Yeah, Jedi teams were very good at that point, but yeah, so, anyway.
Okay. Alright, let's move on to the real changes that came, is the two new characters. So we got Rose and Holdo. We're going to go over Rose first, because I think out of the two characters, Rose is kind of the most meh, and we're going to talk more about Holdo than Rose. So, Rose is a resistance attacker, and I'll just go over her abilities real quick before we dive in. So her basic is Courageous Shot. It's deal physical damage to target enemy and grant tenacity up for 2 turns to a random resistance ally who doesn't have it. Plus, she has a 50% chance to attack again only once per turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her first special, which has a 5-turn cooldown, is called Dauntless Bravery. And that's resistance allies gain defensive up for 2 turns. For each resistance ally, remove 8% turn meter from the target enemy. Rose gains 10% turn meter for each resistance ally and each first order enemy. This attack can't be evaded.
Can you say that word again?
What? Which word? Dauntless?
You mean dauntless?
Oh, did I say it wrong?
Yeah. Oh my god.
God damn it. I'm from Wisconsin, dang
you
it.
This is how you talk. Just go back to making your cheese.
Yeah, did you go to school? why does that have to do with Wisconsin? You can still speak English.
I hate you guys so much. Okay, like, we're moving
I'm
on.
I'm from the South and I can say dauntless.
We are moving on.
The joke's just so right to myself.
Her second special is Shock Prod Strike, which is a 5-turn cooldown as well, and it deals special damage to target enemy and inflicts stun for 1 turn. When this stun expires, the target is dazed for 2 turns, which can't be evaded or resisted. And then she only has one unique. It's Rose has plus 10% offense for each exposed enemy. And when another resistance ally scores a critical hit, Rose gains 10% turn meter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coleman, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on her?
She's going to be going a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, lot, lot. It doesn't even have anything to do with her speed. It's all just, holy crap, she's getting a ton of turn meter. The second thing is both her cooldowns are 5, which we all know cooldowns with resistance doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So there's that. But hopefully, you know, at a 5 and the rate she's going, maybe it'll stop her, it'll slow her down a little bit. And the third thing is I was talking with a friend of mine about this, and when you read her ability and combine it with Rey's leader ability, she's attacking twice. If she gets those critical hits twice, she's popping 2 exposes.
Okay.
Yeah, and getting that turn meter, and then also getting the turn meter she gets from the critical hit, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So that's like 40% turn meter then.
Yeah, she's going to be going constantly.
All right. So one thing I will say is actually I just refreshed swgoh.gg,
uh-huh.
And Haldo and Rose are on there now.
Oh, this is great. Let's
and
go.
So I'm looking at Rose's abilities. Both her basic and her special attacks hit like a wet noodle. Now, I know her basic. She has a 50% chance to hit twice.
Yeah.
But when her damage for her basic is a range of 3,700 to 4,100.
Yeah, she's always going to crit, though. So, even if she's always going to crit with the raise lead.
Yeah, and her special is 3,500 to 3,800.
Yeah.
So she's not going to hit super hard.
Yeah, they do need to balance characters, though, with resistance, because you can't have them, like, here's what you don't want. I run Ray's team with CLS he doesn't need to be there at all. I just do it because I'm lazy and I don't feel like moving mods and the team works fine. But when Illuminated Destiny is popped, his special hits for like 55k, right? So that's what happens when you take a character who does a shitload of damage and then you add Illuminated Destiny to it. It makes them like steroidal damage. I think what they tried to do with the new resistance characters is that they didn't want to overdo their basic damage, knowing that you're going to get Illuminated Destiny off and then they're going to be hitting pretty hard regardless. That if you had them doing so much damage, then once Illuminated Destiny goes off, they're just going to one-shot people. So that's just, I think that's why they bumped it down a little bit, knowing that Illuminated Destiny is so easy to get off for these teams. That's just my hypothesis as to why they did it. Yeah. The devs would know for sure, but from a game balancing standpoint, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, she does have, I mean, not god-awful speed. She's at 141. But like you said, she's going to be gaining turn meter left and right, so it's not the end of the world for her to be slow speed.
Yeah, that's like Han Solo-esque speed, right? I think Han's like similar to that. Yeah.
I think if you just get her like maybe 180, 200, she'll be fine.
Yeah, like her potency is actually pretty good. 54%?
That's really high. That's really good.
So yeah. she's gonna be landing some exposes.
Yeah, she's gonna be landing some exposes. It's just now she does actually on her character strategy sheet, it doesn't say that one of her abilities is a Zeta, but her unique is a Zeta.
Yeah, I think it looks like she only has one.
Yeah, she just has one, and it's the when another resistance ally scores critical hit, Rose gains 10% turn meter.
Mm.
So to make her super fast, you need to Zeta her.
Yeah. If you want, if you're going to get her, grab her Zeta. If you're going to use her.
I'm not saying.
All right, we haven't talked about Hull though yet, but to me personally, she doesn't fit on a Wraith team. To me, she doesn't.
To me,
Go ahead, Colin.
I was gonna say I think she feels like she belongs more on a Finn team.
But she isn't exposed though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it's like no. So, first, I mean, I would say, Ednar, tell us about your experience playing with the Wraith teams.
Okay, so my experience with the Wraith teams.
What team do you use her in?
I don't use her at all.
Oh, why is that?
Because I have not unlocked her.
Oh, sorry.
But, here's the thing. All right, so would she replace Kenobi? Would you rather have Rose over Kenobi?
No.
Well, wait, but what's the rest of the team comp, though?
Okay, so your core three are going to be... The three you're not going to replace, no matter what, are going to be Rey, obviously, BB-8, and R2. Those three are constant. You're not going to change
those. You are not. Those are musts.
Okay. So a fourth will be Hull, though.
Which we haven't discussed why yet.
I would agree. But she will be the fourth.
Yes.
So your fifth spot, would you use her, Scavenger Rey, Resistance Trooper, or even Kenobi? Like, when you're given those, like, four choices, to me, like, her kit does not fit in as well as the other three do.
Kenobi's great. So, like, you pretty much want him on any team. But I do think that she makes the other characters, like, imagine when Kenobi isn't feeding any additional turn meter to Rey. He's not, like, that whole team goes because of how good Rey is, right? Everything centers around making Rey go as much as possible because she's awesome. So, and obviously, you know, getting to Illuminated Destiny. So, she helps you hit all of those things quicker. And, and she does have some utility within her moveset. Like, by no means do I think she's an outstanding character, and she's probably not a necessary character. We'll argue a little bit that Holdo probably is. But, it's not like, you know, she can double tap on her basic. That could be two exposes, to Coleman's point earlier. That's pretty good. Even if the damage isn't great, that's pretty good. She can remove turn meter. That's pretty good. And, I think it gets, she gets a bunch of turn meter there for resistance ally and first order. So if first order teams end up like coming into arena, she becomes even better, right? Because that would basically makes her go again immediately. And then, the shock prod strike, the 5-turn cooldown second special is a stun that then turns into daze, and daze is great in the current arena right now with CLS teams and things like that, which, you know, yeah, CLS might be going away because of all this, because of something very particularly that Holdo has. But the, you know, I just think there's utility there. Do I think she's better than GK? I don't know. We'll have to find out, I guess. But I do think there's utility in this character. And if not mandatory, I do see some really good value with her.
Well, like, I see some value in her. But to me, and this is more after we talk about Holdo, is Scavenger Rey fits that same mold, just better. Can she inflict daze?
Yeah, yes, you say to her, absolutely. Yep, you make a good point.
She can give offense up. She gets foresight, which helps Holdo when we get to her. So, I mean, I'm not saying she's bad for this team. I'm just saying that there are better options than her. And that's the only thing I say. I'm not saying she's a bad option. I'm just saying there are better options than
totally. And especially in the short term, right? Because you're not going to be able to farm her for a while. So unless you're going to drop some serious coin, you're probably going to want to go with the character you start up in geared, which is going to more likely be Scavenger Rey. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was just looking at her gear list, and it does not seem fun. She is not a fun one. I'm looking 100 stun guns, 100 stun cuffs, 200 carbontes.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
Nothing, does not look fun, so. But, you know, I've been wrong before. A lot.
Every time.
No. I have not been wrong every time. Just the majority of the time.
I just pulled up Amelyn Holdo's swag page. Ow.
Yeah, I saw that too. We'll talk about her. All right, we're going to get into her now. All right, so we'll go through her abilities. And this is So, Amelyn Holdo, she's a resistance tank. And this is the one nobody saw coming, what she would do. And how insane her kit actually on paper seems. Yeah. So, we'll go over her basic. Measured shot. Deal physical damage to target enemy, and the least healthy other resistance ally gains foresight for 2 turns. When this foresight expires, that ally recovers 10% health.
That's pretty good.
She heals on her basic.
Sounds like I'm going to be needing Death Trooper.
Okay. So that's just her basic. Her first special is Bunker Buster, which is a 5-turn cooldown, but we all know resistance cooldowns mean nothing. So, and it's deal special damage to all enemies and inflict daze for 2 turns. inflict defense down and evasion down on the primary target for two turns.
Sounds like I'm going to need Rex for this.
Yes. Her second special is Reprieve. Cooldown 5. Dispel all debuffs on target other ally. They recover 40% health and 20% protection. So,
sounds like another heal.
Yeah, another heal.
Yep.
And then she has her unique Quiet Confidence, which is her only Zeta. And it reads, when another resistance ally loses Foresight, Huldo gains Taunt for one turn and recovers 10% health. While Huldo doesn't have Taunt, she has plus 50 speed, and all other resistance allies have plus 20% critical avoidance.
Yeah, and I figured I see the reason why it says plus 50 speed.
Okay, why is that?
She's 90 base speed.
Speed is 90.
Yes.
A flat 90.
Brutal. But she does have the third most protection in the game, though.
Yeah.
And the Fock and Kenobi have more.
And the third most health.
Yeah, so that's
so legit. She's like the beefiest character really in the game. When you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be pretty beefy to take out a, Star Destroyer, right? So, or whatever it is, the official term of the ship she destroyed, so.
God, I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah. But, right. Yeah.
So yeah. Dave, we'll start with you. We started with you, Coleman, first last time. Dave, what do you think of Huldo?
I don't think I'm going to be, I don't think this is going to be groundbreaking. She's very good. The taunt on Foresight, for the first time, I think, since GK came out, gives somebody with almost a just an effect. The thing that's so great about GK, right, is how effective his taunt is, and that you don't have to use anything to do it. It just kind of happens. And with the level of Foresight, assuming she taunts on every single, I know Arnold had a video out earlier, or Arnold had a video out earlier, where he wasn't quite sure if it's on all Foresights or just the Foresight that she delivers through her basic. Assuming it's all Foresight that she ends up taunting, obviously the team has a ton of Foresight. That would be another reason, to your point you just made earlier, as to why do use Scavenger Ray, because it would just be another character with Foresight. She's going to taunt all the time, and you don't have to use a move to do it. So it's passive entirely. That's awesome, because it just kind of happens. And the whole slow down thing is just very similar to like how Thrawn works, and that she's relative. I mean, so that puts her at like 140 speed when she's not taunting, which is plenty fast, especially with how much resistance characters go under a Ray lead. And then when she is taunting, she slows down to suck up damage, and like you just said, has this gigantic health pool, and all of that would be enough, right, to help a team, just because she's also resistance and she's getting the benefit of the exposes on crits and helping the whole Rey Illuminated Destiny just train, keep rolling. But she's got a mass daze, and she heals. So now she's got a mass daze to deal with whatever left of the CLS meta you had, and she's got a heal.
Night Sister.
And she's got a heal to help people figure out how to the hell to beat Night Sisters with a Ray team, because right now Night Sisters are just they slaughter Ray teams because there's no healer. Now you have a healer, so it's she's very good. I the other thing too, and I mentioned this to you guys before, and I think I was talking on our guild chat earlier with some folks, like. She's going to be effective. You're going to want a 7-star every character, ideally, right? But she's, because of just how she works, and she's not a damage dealer or anything like that, she'll be fine at gear 11, 4 stars. Like, she'll work. She'll work just fine. And, will she be better at 7 stars gear 12? Sure. Every character is better once you gear them up, except for Zombie Cheese. But, like, in this instance, it's, you could probably use her at a lower star level, back to the, the Nihilist days where you didn't have to have the character at 7-star. And she's fits in perfectly because unlike GK, she's resistance. So she gets all the benefits from the rate lead that you don't get currently using GK as your main tank. So she's going to be really good. She's going to be a staple of resistance teams. She's going to be all over Arena. I really hope that the couple people who might buy her on my shard don't, but I'm sure that they will. And
she will be a nightmare for you.
She will be a nightmare. Well, I'll have her too, but just certainly not at 7 stars, not right away. I don't have that type of coin right now available, but it's she's going to be great. She's going to be a really, really good character. She kind of completes the Ray team, the Ray meta. And I think it's safe to say the Ray meta isn't going anywhere for a little while.
That's a pretty safe bet with her coming around.
Yeah.
I mean, Coleman, let's hear your thoughts. What do you think of this?
She's OP.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a lot to her kit. I would agree. I mean, yeah.
I'm trying to strategize right now in my head about, okay, Imperial Probe, Droid, Thrawn, Shore Trooper, Death Trooper, and Krennic still. That's all I can do.
I mean, it's, all right, so for instance, the meta right now is Ray Teams,
and Night Titan,
and Night Sisters. Those are the top three. She takes care of the other two teams.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of Titan. Like, Titan, as much as you want to say it, having a mass daze kills a Titan team. It really does.
Look same at Wampa. With,
yeah, well, you could get Wampa. But not many people have Wampa.
I have Wampa. Not geared yet, but I have Wampa.
Yeah, like,
I'll have Wampa during territory battles.
Okay. I should actually have Wampa soon, too. I've been saving up for him.
Is that... Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, she will activate a 2-star.
Okay.
Because on swh.gg, they have shards for activation, 25.
Okay. So she basically has everything the resistance team was missing.
Mm-hmm.
A heal, daze, taunt. Like, she completes this team.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump to conclusions, but the way things look right now, we are back into the one team meta. We really are. Like, yeah. Before Hull, though, there was Night Sister, there was Titan, there was Rey. I mean, you even saw occasionally some Zeras teams or Trooper teams. But with her in this right now, those teams are rendered useless.
Yeah.
Like, this becomes a very stale meta.
With Night Sisters are still going to work on offense, I think. But, right now, like, I avoid them on... Like, I don't bump Night Sister teams because my Ray team will lose to them 9 times out of 10 unless I do everything perfect. So, like, it's... this will eliminate the need to do everything perfect. And you'll be able to bump them again. So, I mean, you're right. And I think... And another thing, too...
Wait, can you say that again?
Oh, yeah. So, another thing, too, like...
No. Can you say that...
No.
Before that, about me being right?
Whoa. We never said that.
Yeah. So...
I just like hearing that.
Yeah, well, I understand. I can see why. So, what I was going to say was not that you were right, but what I was going to say is, did you look at her gear? Because it's stupid easy.
Oh, I haven't yet.
Like, to get to gear 11 takes not a whole heck of a lot. And, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At gear 8, there's 2 green pieces.
It's pretty ridiculous. God. Like, you only need, I think, 100 Carbontes. Yeah. To get her to gear 11.
Why can't I have this on, like, every Empire character?
Yeah. Her gear is... so easy that it's...
Wait a minute. Akira 11, like, is that a green piece?
Yeah, you almost feel like it's like they screwed up, like they're not reading her gear right in SWGBH.GG isn't like pulling the data in right because it doesn't. It seems broken. It's so easy.
Yeah, like from 10 to 11, there's two blue pieces.
Yeah, and there's in 10 and 11 combined, there's three stun guns and one's a Mark 6.
Yeah, like I literally am going to take her to gear 11 tomorrow. Like when I unlock, or 2 days when I unlock her, she'll go right to gear 11. I'll throw her right in arena. Yeah. So like
the annoying part is 200 stun gun. That's really it.
Yeah, but that's only if you want to take her all the way to gear 12.
Yeah. So there's no individual stun gun. So basically, it's all for stun cuffs and not stun cuffs for carbantes and stun guns. There's no additional carbantes over just stun guns.
Nope, and there's no cuffs whatsoever, no syringes. Like, you need a...
This is stupid easy.
Yeah, you need a droid collar, so, you know, I guess if you're a little cash poor on the droid collars, but, like, that's it. You need a droid collar, you need a furnace. Okay, I'm sure people have furnaces stacked up at this point. It's kind of, like... To Coleman's point before, like, not only is she broken maybe by her kit, but her gear for what she is, like, think about how much gear you had to use on Shore Trooper or Soon Fock or Kenobi, these major tanks that have been a part of the meta for the last year and a half, and now they required such a heavy investment of gear to get to gear 11 or you know, now gear 12. She requires a fraction of that, like an insulting fraction of that.
Like, and those are all great tanks, or great tanks in their time.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway.
And one of those droid collars you don't even need to get to gear 11. So you really only need one droid collar to get to 11.
Yep. Yeah. And her, I mean, her. And by the way, her gear 11 gear to get to gear 12 is not bad either. Like,
no, it's not. It's really easy compared to most.
It's really not bad at all, but... So, yeah, enjoy that. She's going to be everywhere at gear 12. She's going to be everywhere at gear 11 starting, what, Saturday when the event happens? Yeah. So, prepare, boys, because you're going to be facing the never-ending sea of Holdo in 2 days.
You know, and I mean, I know this is not one of those flashy things. She also has crazy good health steal. Especially for someone who has AoE.
That's kind of annoying.
It is. Is she a 30% health steal? Screw that. For an AoE ability?
Yeah. Ugh. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
That's like a death trooper.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, it's not like... It's not groundbreaking that she has a lot of health steal, but that's just adding on to the... Well, shit, what does she not have?
I know, and she has all that health steal at gear 11, too. She doesn't have that, like, extra gold piece that gives you more health steal. Like, she just has all that base once you get her to gear 11.
Yeah. She has crap potency. I guess that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that, but you can just... You don't need her for damage, so If you want to stick a potency mod on her cross, you can, and then you can just... Give her potency on her triangle and circle and call it a day.
Yeah, because, I mean, she needs potency because of her mass days and defense down, evasion down, you know, all that stuff. She does need... You need to stack potency on her.
You do, yep.
But, man. I mean, honestly, if you're running a CLS team, take the mods you have on CLS off him and put it on her. And you're golden.
That's what I'm going to do, believe it or not.
Like, I mean, you have speed and potency.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what she needs to improve on. Everything else she doesn't need to improve on. She's good.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Where's my dark side character like this?
I know, right?
You have Imperial Probe Droid.
That's true. And that's just going to wipe everything.
Yes. I mean, Laura Dern deserves a character like this. She was in Jurassic Park. One of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, I can't argue that one.
So
yeah, no, yeah.
So I do she deserves to be this good. Now, all right. So for those listeners who are not in our Discord, I have been on an anti-Arena rant lately. So like, all right. The other day, I finished top three. First, second, third. But, like, me and the other people in my payout, we rotate. So I can't remember what exactly payout I had that day. I woke up in the morning at 71.
What was it last time, Dave? What did we say to him?
Which thing? Get I'm good. Sorry.
Get
good. Oh, yeah, get good. I remember get good. That was 2 episodes ago. Yeah.
But this basically means that if you do not have Ray team, you probably top 50 in my shard is just not achievable. It's just probably not. That's depressing to me. Because, I mean, we already have, you know, 40... Jedi Ray teams on my shard. So now it's going to be all the other teams competing for top 50. So all I can hope for is that the StarWars.com report is true and that we're going to be getting Hux and whatever the other dude's name is.
We need First Order Empire, and something.
I can just go all in on them and hope they can counter Rey. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I mean, take solace in this, in that this game, the developers do like to just, like, introduce hard counters to things. So whether that ends up being First Order or ends up being something that Palp does that really helps shut them down.
Well, like, you would think something's last coming. Week. Like, you weren't on last week, Davis.
No.
Here's the problem that I think me and Coleman kind of came to is the problem is not Ray. The problem is not CLS. What's the one common denominator in all of this?
Oh, well, we've talked about this before. You talk
it's
about
R2.
Yeah. R2 is inherently broken, and no one ever talks about it.
Like, R2 is the problem in this game.
Yeah.
Like, he's as OP as you can be without being straight up OP, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he's game-breaking, but none of his abilities are that ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not flashy, so it flies under the radar. But he does, I mean, I think a couple episodes we talked about this too, just that, like, the dark side doesn't have that make everybody better on every team character like R2-D2. So.
Yeah, so First Order needs a character who can target in stealth. That's what I want.
Right.
That is straight up what I want.
Well, and maybe you'll get it.
I hope, because, like, if First Order comes out and is viable, I will spend like there's no business.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I will. I will spend on, well, I don't have to spend on crew anymore, because I can get them to 7 stars in, like, a week and a half.
Yeah, this is not anymore.
But, I mean, if we get Hux, I'm hoping he's legendary. But if he's not, I'll probably buy packs to get him to 7 star. Because I feel if he's not complete crap. If he's complete crap, I won't do that. But I hope they're just a counter to this Rey Holdo meta that will be coming in a week.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to facing her.
Mm-mm.
So, I guess my question to you, and I will start with you, Coleman. If you were actually running a light side team with Rey, what would be your starting five?
The 5 new characters.
you'd use the five. You'd use Rose as the fifth.
Yep.
Okay. Any reason using Rose over someone else?
No, I'd still use Rose because I think because of her stun slash daze ability. Just the fact that she keeps going and going and going.
So is Rose the Energizer Bunny?
Rose is BB-8's Energizer Bunny.
Oh.
Rose is BB-8's Energizer Bunny.
I'm like, why does Rose not have an ability along the lines of, you know,
kiss Finn?
Kiss Finn.
Save Finn.
Finn. Like, how does she not have synergy with Finn?
Like, if Finn reaches below 25% health, she reses it all back.
See? There you go. That's what we need. What about you, Dave? You actually run her.
I do, yeah.
What is with Holdo? Because I assume you're going to go with Holdo.
Well, yeah, I am.
What is your five going to be then?
I'm going to put Holdo in for CLS and just, I won't have, and then I'll run GK and Holdo.
Okay.
Yeah, at least in the beginning, right, only because I don't have Scavenger Ray, I guess I could run her, she doesn't have to be gear 12, but I kind of want her to be before I'd put her in Arena. But I do think Scavenger Ray would be who I'd go with, only because I'm not going to get Rose to a high enough star level where I'm going to want to use her, and I worry that, like, she'll hit, like, really like a wet noodle. Although she is beefier than Ray. But yeah, I guess it would be Scavenger Ray or Rose ultimately. In the interim, though, I'm just going to put Holdo in for CLS and run a double tank, which means you're not going to be able to touch BB-8, R2, and Ray. And once Illuminate Destiny goes off, it's game over. Don't even worry about it at that point. It doesn't matter. So,
yeah. So yeah. One of the nice things is, you have to think is, so when on defense, when R2 does smoke screen, he puts smoke screen on the character with the most health and protection. So we've learned now that they're up on SWGH. What'd you say?
Amon Holdo?
Yeah, R2 would put smoke screen on Holdo over a Kenobi or someone else, which would give her foresight, and then she'd just be beefy as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you don't need to run that second tank if you can get smoke screen off in time.
Oh, no.
Like, that's my big thing, is, like,
well,
even really on defense, Holdo will get smokescreen put on them right away.
And that's what everyone agrees on, is that R2 is kind of the soft tank of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, R2, the problem. And with all the foresight that Scavenger Ray gets, I think Scavenger Ray, in the end, will be the fifth once people get her geared up. Because I think a lot of people geared her up, but, like, they left her at gear 11, and they just need to move her to 12 and throw the Zeta on her unique to give her daze.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't see, and I said this before about Rey, I don't see Holdo being PvE viable. I just don't see her being like, okay, we're going to make, you know, a resistance team that much better in, you know, the heroic AET. I don't see that being the issue.
Yeah, probably not. She seems like an arena character.
Arena territory war could be good, but
yeah.
I don't know. Sure. We have two full resistance teams now.
We do.
Which is nice.
Very nice.
So, I think that will do it. Do you guys have anything else about Holdo?
No. We have 1.5 First Order teams, right?
We have 1.5 First Order teams, which is another reason it leads to me to believe that we're going to get more First Order. I mean, you can't ignore one and not the other.
And I'm curious, too, and, you know, a big Darkseid fanatic, and I wonder, they've normally done this, normally whoever comes out first, whoever comes out second in the battles between, like, Rebels, Empire, Empire comes out first, then Commander Luke comes out. Well, this time it was Resistance came out, and we have a half of a First Order team, so maybe they might counter Resistance? I don't know.
I would hope so. One thing that was interesting to this whole cadence with First Order and Resistance to me was how early they released Crew.
12 weeks.
Like, they released him.
That was their
really
promised
early.
Cadence. That was their promised cadence, and they finally delivered.
But something has to be up with releasing somebody that big in the game that early.
Like, that on time, I guess.
Could he be a panic farm?
It's really interesting. Like, it does feel really quick. It feels weird. I don't know if it's just from us being, like, used to these disappointing, okay, they're finally in the game, holy crap.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very excited. I'm actually going all in already on First Order without spending actual cash. Like,
I'm hoping my money is not well spent, is not poorly spent on First Order.
I would be a little upset if I spent a bunch of money to level up Crew, and then you're like, and they're on a 10 energy cantina node.
I'm pissed.
I'd be like, wow.
I only spent like $100 on Crew.
Oh, is that all? Oh, psh.
Yeah.
That's it.
I got one of those nice, like, 245 packs.
Yeah. Dick.
Yeah. So I was
most I've gotten. So, all right, one last question, because it just popped into my head about this. With the new Ray team, let's say, with Haldo in it, what is an arena team that can counter it? Is there an arena team out there right now that can counter this? Dave, can you think of any?
Well, Night Sisters is still going to work.
But, I mean, they're not like a counter to them. Like, most teams have a counter. Night Sisters work against them, but they're not a counter to Rey at this point. With Haldo.
Yeah, well, listen. Nothing on defense is really going to hold against a good Rey team at this point. It barely does now. It's really only Night Sisters, and this will help change that. I mean, on offense, though, you could probably put together. I know some people that have been using Chase to success because you can get Tenacity up from Tenacity up helps shut down their turn meter, but even not entirely. It just slows it down a little bit. Ultimately, to slow them down, you got to get to BB-8, and that's really hard to get to BB-8 because he's pretty much stealth or foresight the entire time. So something with like an AOE would maybe work. The thing about it is I haven't really tried to counter my own team, so I'm not really sure. The answer was Night Sisters before this, though, so I don't know now that she can heal if there is really what you would truly define as a true counter in the game. It's just, there's probably a variety of characters you can use to win, to beat them on when you're facing them on offense, but anybody with a controlled Rey team, player-controlled Rey team, will beat every other faction or any other team relatively easily now on offense with Haldo, in my opinion. If they weren't already, which they probably were, except, but to my point, Night Sisters.
Okay, now Coleman, what would be a good counter? Do you think
Thrawn Imperial Probe Droid?
Is your answer to everything Imperial Probe Droid?
Imperial Probe Droid.
Ice.
Imperial Probe Droid.
All right, fine. Imperial Probe Droid. I'm going with Triple Cleanse.
Imperial Probe Droid.
I think Triple Cleanse will be...
with Imperial Probe Droid.
God damn it. Fine. Triple Cleanse with Imperial Probe Droid.
There you go. Now we're good.
So you got Rex, Baze, Chirrut, Kenobi, and Imperial Probe Droid.
Yep.
There you go.
That's all you need.
There's your counter team. Brought to you by Coleman and, like, half of Adenar.
Imperial Probe Droid.
I caved. I just caved to him.
Yep.
I guess that will be it for our strategies this week or any of the new information. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that dropped this week.
Yep. And just remember, Imperial Probe Droid.
No one...
The Meta Breaker.
Alright, so on that note, I did not beat the special mission this week.
Aww, get good.
Yeah. So, I actually now have, I put a Zeta on Veers, and I
There
have,
was your whole problem.
Yeah, yes. What were you, yeah, of course you didn't beat it. You kind of need that.
So I put a Zeta on Veers, I have him at gear 11, Stark at gear 11, Snowtrooper, right? Yeah, Snowtrooper is required for that. He's at 10. And then I'm going to probably use Shore Trooper and Death Trooper, who are both at gear 12.
Yeah.
So well, I'm hoping next Dark Side I can get one shard for my guild.
Well, Dave, I'm glad we figured out what went wrong with Ednar's special mission.
I know. I'm really glad we could bring all of our listeners that incredible strategic advice to ensure you Zeta Veers before
entering that mission.
I hate you guys so mission. Much.
Yeah.
He's the Imperial Finn.
Yep. This is why people listen to this podcast, to get that type of advice, like make sure you Zeta Veers before using him in a trooper team. Boom.
I hate
Mike. Mike dropped. I'm out.
Okay. On that wonderful note, I think that's going to be the end of our show. Alright, Coleman, any shout-outs? Is this a no, Coleman? I'm going to go with that's a no, then. Dave, how about you?
That must be a no. I also have no shout-outs.
Alright, so... I actually have two. Alright, I have to shout out to a shard mate of mine, Kylo Mensch. I have to shout out to you because I forgot to last week. So shout out to him and his guild. The second shout out I have is to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Good luck next week.
Beating the Eagles are
Philadelphia Eagles.
The Eagles are going
to
need
it. You know what? I would like to shout out to Aaron Rodgers' doctor, who maybe can keep him on the field next year.
Same can be said for your quarterback.
Whatever, they're in the Super Bowl this year without him. When was the last time the Packers made the Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers?
97.
Yeah, that was a good
year. When's the last time the Eagles won a Super Bowl with anyone?
Never. Never. Let's hope that changes. Although you guys won't hope that changes, but I hope that changes.
So here's what I
will say. I can guarantee you that if they win, I will not gloat. I will not boast. I will not rant. I will not rave. I will not be obnoxious. I simply
bullshit.
Will. I simply will say
January 25th. Good. 6:13 p.m.
Good game. Good game, everybody. Good game.
It is 18:13 in the world in Hawaii, and I now have this on recording for Dave.
Don't worry, Dave. McMull will gloat and. Shout to on the top of a mountain for
yes,
all
will.
Of you.
If the
yes,
Eagles win, I'm muting and blocking McMull.
Fair enough. I don't blame you.
I don't think anyone would blame you. But blame you.
That's basically, you're going to be doing to McMole if the Eagles win what I will do to Ednar if Hondo comes out.
Oh! I don't even care if you block me. I will shout that from a mountain.
I know.
And he's got it in Wisconsin.
You guys have a good week. How about that?
You guys, yeah. Everyone have a good week. Please join us on our Discord. I'll include the link on the bottom of our podcast. Follow us on Twitter, which I will also have. Death to Porgs.
I don't know. Dark Side February month.
Dark Side February. We need a good Dark Side month.
We need a good Dark Side 3 months.
True. We need a good Dark Side character.
We need more than one.
Yeah, true. So, until next week, everyone, have a good one.